turn once again to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, and read the first 11 verses. Matthew, chapter 2, the first 11 verses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Our text for this morning's service you can find in the passage that we have read together from Matthew chapter 2, and this time the 11th verse, where we have the climax of the wise men's journey. Matthew 2, verse 11, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Are you a seeker of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you also a finder of the Lord Jesus? Are you a seeker with the wise men, seeking to find him who was born King of the Jews? Perhaps you ask, how do I know I am a seeker of Christ? How do I know I am a finder of Christ? When you meet with him, as these wise men also meet with him in Bethlehem and worship him. Let's see what happens in this account. Our theme is the wise men meet King Jesus. The wise men meet King Jesus. First, the sight of Jesus. Secondly, the worship of Jesus. And thirdly, the gifts for Jesus. The wise men meet King Jesus. Sight of Jesus, the worship of Jesus, and thirdly, the gifts for Jesus. At last, the wise men come to Bethlehem, to the house where the Lord Jesus is. At last, they come to meet him. Though they have endured many obstacles on their way, for it's been a long trip, and then when they came to Jerusalem, the many people were ignorant of the Lord Jesus' birth, and they were ignorant of this king. And there were other disappointments of hearing the answer from the scribes, but after the scribes gave their answers, they went back to their home and were not willing to come along with the wise men, showing that they didn't really believe the message of the wise men. And all along the way, these wise men faced discouragements. But they did not turn back. They could not turn back. For the irresistible grace of God was drawing them forward and onward so that they would meet the King. And so led onward by the star, and at last they arrive at the house of Mary and Joseph, where the Lord Jesus was. And this all tells us that those who seek Him shall find Him. That's a certainty. Promise given by the Lord Himself. Now you know that some time has passed from the birth of the Lord Jesus to the time when the wise men appear. Perhaps 6 months or a year or maybe 2 years have passed from His birth till the time that the wise men meet Him. But the Lord Jesus is no longer a baby. He is a child. Well, the wise men, they come to the house. What now? They've come to the very place where the Lord Jesus is. Have they come far enough? Can they now turn back and go to their homes, back in the east again? They have sought. They have arrived at the address of the Lord Jesus. Can they now go back? No. They need to come further. And isn't that the case with seekers? They realize it's not enough to have impressions. It's not enough to seek. They realize it's not enough to ask good questions. They must find. And isn't that also your desire? Is that also your complaint? Seeking the Lord Jesus, but saying, I must not only seek Him. Oh, many people, they would say, oh, well, then you are quite far already. And they would tell you that's all that you need. No, you must also find, and you know that. May God give us eyes to see Him. May God give us this very hour to meet Him under the Word preached, blessed by the Holy Spirit. So these wise men, they have not come far enough. They need to enter into the house. And that's what they do. They enter and they see the young child with Mary, his mother. They saw. They said nothing. They looked. And I picture it this way, that they looked and looked some more. Maybe a half a minute passed or a minute. They gazed upon Him. They looked carefully at Him. And Mary, she is there too. And they saw her too. But they only glanced at her quickly. But they looked at the Lord Jesus. And they looked. Shall we also not look with these wise men? And look carefully. See Him there. Look on Him. Fix the gaze of your heart upon Him. Focus away from yourself. Look away from yourself and look on Him. Do you see Him? Do you see what the wise men see? What do the wise men see? They see the King of the Jews. They see the King. Was it then so obvious that He was a King? Was it so clear that whoever saw the Lord Jesus
would see a king? Would the people in Bethlehem just see that simply because he came through their town? Was that obvious? Did he live in the palace of a king? Did he wear special clothes that king little princes would wear? Did he have a small crown on his head? Did he have maybe some jewels on him? No. None of that. If the wise men were to compare the Lord Jesus with the king whom they had just seen and from whom they had just come, if they were to compare him with King Herod, then things would look completely different. King Herod had lived in a beautiful and magnificent palace. He had been clothed certainly in costly garments and in dressed. You could tell he was a king. There were servants, they were attending on him. He had riches, he had power. You could tell that. But him the wise men did not worship as they will worship the King Jesus. Him, Herod, they did not bow before him as they are going to bow before the Lord Jesus. Herod, they did not give any gifts to, but to the Lord Jesus they will give gifts. And so, though he looks a lot different than King Herod, and though no one may be able to see that this is a king, when they look on the Lord Jesus, that is exactly what they see. They see a king. They see in it this child, the King of the Jews, promised of God the Father. No, it's true, he was not born in Bethlehem. He was not born in Jerusalem. But in a far-out country, village, Bethlehem. He was not born in a royal palace. His mother was no queen. She was a poor woman among the lowliest of the land. The clothes that he wore probably were not the most beautiful clothes. His house was a simple house. No mansion, no palace. They saw a plain young child. But when they see him, they treat him as the most glorious King of Kings. For you see, when they look on him, they see him as king. How did they see that, boys and girls? How did they see that this child here in this home at Bethlehem was this king? Because they had very special eyes. They did not look simply with physical eyes, but they looked with spiritual eyes. They looked with eyes of faith, with the eyes of their heart. They see him, and when they see him, they see a king. How come? How did this happen? Well, remember who this child is. This child there in Bethlehem is king. He is born king. You know what he is doing? He is acting as king already. He is showing himself to be a divine king, who is God himself. And what does this king do? This king captures hearts. And that's what he's done with these wise men. He has captured their heart as king. And that's what he still does. Woos sinners unto himself. He has power to do so. That's what he has done with these wise men. He has planted faith in their heart. A small seed. That's how they have come from such a long distance. And when they see him with eyes of faith. He has illumined their eyes. The eyes of their understanding. And so they look on him and they see him, the king. And that's how others have looked at him too. Think of old Simeon, when he took the child in his arms. And seeing this child in his arms, my eyes have seen thy salvation, he says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Shall we not also look this way? Shall we not look carefully? Shall we not allow him to capture our hearts? and so look upon Him in faith, gazing upon Him there in Bethlehem. What do you see? Look carefully. Gaze. Do you see He is King? He is God. He is also true man. For look again. There is the substitute for sinners. He is going to take the place of sinners. Look. He is the Lamb of God. And He has come willingly to take the place of sinners. He was willing to humble Himself. He was willing to come to this lowly earth. He was willing to come to that lowly house there in Bethlehem. He was willing to be born. Look, He became a child to save. Is that also how we look on Him? There in Bethlehem. Is that also the cry of our heart? Oh, that I might see Him with such eyes of faith. And is that how we look at Him when we scan the pages of the Scriptures? Must we not look with eyes of faith? That when you see Him through His ministry here on earth, must we not see Him with eyes of faith? For if we do not have eyes of faith, then we will look at Him like the scribes and the Pharisees will look at Him. They will count Him no mere to be nobody special, but to be the son of a carpenter. That's all. We must look at Him with eyes of faith. When we follow Him, and when we are led even to Golgotha's cross, when we look at Him there on the cross, we must look with eyes of faith. For I know that He had no form or comeliness. There was nothing so very attractive about Him. Also not in Bethlehem. There was, when we see Him, Isaiah says, there is no beauty in Him that we should desire Him. And yet, God's people desire Him, for He has a beauty that surpasses all the world. He is altogether lovely. Do you see Him with eyes of faith? Even if His outward appearance is nothing special, even though His mother was poor, even though they did not live in a palace, do you see Him as King? That even though others don't see Him as King, you nevertheless are convinced He is the King? Have you learned to go not by outward appearance, but have you learned to live by faith? Has this King captured your heart? And do you love Him? Whom having not seen, Peter says, ye love. Is that how it is with us? Whom having not seen physically, yet you love. For that's what we see with these wise men. They love Him. They bow down to worship Him. That's our second point. We see these wise men worshiping the King. They fell down and worshipped Him, our text says. When they saw the Lord Jesus, they cast themselves down to the ground and worshipped Him. This was not something they had rehearsed. This was not something that they had programmed to do. This was the response of each of these wise men. Not one of them stayed upright. They all fell down. They did not ask questions. They did not speak. They, with silence, bowed themselves to the ground. And in the East, they would do that especially. They would put their lips to the very ground. And that's what they do before this little child. What are they saying thereby? They're saying, I am nothing. He is everything. But wait a minute. You are not just allowed to bow before a mere child, are you? You're not allowed to worship a mere child. When you worship, you are only to worship Him who is God. You may not worship a mere creature. You may not worship an angel. For we read that when John on the Isle of Patmos, he has seen all that he has seen in the book of Revelation, then he bows before that angel, and that angel set him upright again and said, no, worship God.
And we may not worship a mere man, for we read of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that Roman centurion, that when Peter was come into his house, then Cornelius bowed before him, but Peter stood him up and said, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." But here these wise men bow down before this little child. And Mary, she doesn't stop them. She doesn't tell these men to get up. For you see, he is no mere child. This is no mere creature. This is the Son of God. He is a real child. He is a righteous child. But he is also true God in one person. And he is to be worshipped. And he is to be worshipped there in Bethlehem already. He is to be worshipped there as the child in that house. Already now, upon his birth, and still today. And these wise men, they see by faith that he is God, taught them by the Holy Spirit, and they worship him. And so that means that as they are down on the ground, their whole heart, their whole being goes out after this child. Their affections go out after him. Their mind is set on him. Their will is bent toward them, towards him. They love him. Had been seeking the Lord Jesus. Their heart has been stirred to seek after him. They had been longing to meet him. The journey had been so long that when they finally do meet him, they worship him. Is that not what happens when you meet him? Has that not happened when he has dealings with you, when you have dealings with him? You worship. How do I know that I am a seeker? How do I know that I am a finder of the Lord Jesus when there comes a heart of worship towards Christ? And does that also not tell us what the goal of seeking Christ is? What is the goal of a sinner meeting with the Lord Jesus? What is the goal of finding the Lord Jesus? What is your goal? What is your aim? Is it not this, that you would worship the Lord Jesus? Is that also your desire? Why do you really seek him? What do you long for when you seek him? And it can be that you long to find him in order to find pardon, for you have this massive guilt. And you long to meet him so that you can find mercy with God. That you can receive everlasting life. And that's also something that the Lord gives to all those who come to him. But is there not a greater goal yet? Is there not a greater end yet? To worship him. And is that not also your desire? That you might serve him. That you might worship him. That you would bow in the dust before him. Not formalistically, but wholeheartedly, saying, "I belong to the dust of the ground. I am nothing. Thou art everything. I am of the earth, earthy. Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Thou art everything. Thou art the King. Thou art the Savior. Also the Savior of my soul. Worthy of all praise. Worthy of all adoration." Do you know of this worship of King Jesus? I don't say that it is always there, the case. Do not say that we are always in the right place. But does it grieve you when you are not found worshiping the King? Does it grieve you that when you come under his word, that you are not found worshipping him whom your soul has come to love and beginning? Do you worship him? When do we worship him? Isn't that also what is taught here in this account? That can we of ourselves just worship him? Can we just flick on a switch? And then we are worshiping him. Can we just turn to a page in the Psalter? Can we just of ourselves? No. Oh yeah, we can just engage in the praise with the lips. That can be done.
That doesn't take much. But then it is only of the lips. But your heart doesn't overflow with Him. When is it that we worship Him? Truly worship Him. Well, it's told us here in this account, we truly worship King Jesus when we meet with Him. As the wise men met with Him, they did not stop before the entrance of the house and they say, we have gone far enough, now let's engage in worship. No, it's when they went into the house and they saw Him, looked on Him, then they were worshiping the King. When we meet Him, and then we say with the Queen of Sheba, the half was not told me. When you see Him who He is, and when you see what He would do, when out of your sense of need you go to Him saying, Lord, I'm coming, I cannot stay back, drawn by Thy love, drawn by Thee, I must come, I cannot stay away from Thee. And then you find that He is willing to receive you. He welcomes sinners. He's been longing to meet with you. That He's been drawing you. Is that also how you came to church this morning? You know, we come unto the house of God and we've been in church now several times. And then it can be so that we come just out of routine and custom and it follows through the previous day. But did you come here to worship the King? If we did not, then we were not right in the way that we came. But the Lord can still show mercy to us, and He can still make us worshipers, even in this very hour together. Is that how we came to His house, seeking Him? Is that how we came, Lord, I want to meet with Thee? Wanting to worship the Christ. Wonder of wonders. He, God of gods, light of lights, willing to meet with me, who am such an unworthy sinner. Who is this child but the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who put off the glory of heaven, came as a child in the manger, and wants sinners to meet with Him. That's a wonder that you were allowed to enter into that Bethlehem house. That you were allowed to enter into the door to view Him. But you were allowed and the Lord did not hinder you. The Lord never hinders a sinner from coming to Him. He has come precisely for sinners. Precisely for someone like you and like me. Well, we see these wise men worship the Lord Jesus and bringing their gifts unto Him. And that's our third point, the gifts for Jesus. After they have seen Him and after they have looked upon Him and they have bowed before Him, they reach for their treasures. And they bring out some wondrous gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Precious gifts. Costly gifts. You can tell that, right, boys and girls? Gold. That's a gift for a king. That's a gift for King Jesus. And frankincense and myrrh, those are spices and perfumes that are worth thousands of dollars today. And that is for King Jesus. They're not only bringing that along to show it to the Lord Jesus, they are bringing it along to give to Him. Now the Lord Jesus, He did not often receive gifts when He was on this earth. God inclined the hearts of these wise men to give generously because soon, together with Joseph and Mary, they will need these gifts in order to travel to Egypt. But the Lord Jesus did not often receive gifts. There are only a few times that He received gifts. At His birth, this is the only time He received gifts. A few other times He would also receive some gifts, but there's another time that I'm thinking of when He would receive a precious gift. I'm not thinking now at the time near His birth, but I'm thinking of a time near His death. When Mary would come to Him and would anoint Him with precious ointment. And when the Lord Jesus said that she has done it for His burial. But whenever the Lord Jesus received gifts, He never rejected the gifts. He received them. He did not reject these gifts from the wise men. He did not reject the times when he was anointed with oil, but he received them as tokens of love. Gifts for the Lord Jesus. What do we give to him, dear congregation? No, not as a payment for salvation, for nothing of what we have or nothing of what we can do can make satisfaction for our sins. The Lord Jesus has paid the greatest price. He has been the greatest gift. The Lord Jesus gave His own precious blood on Golgotha. He paid with His life in the place of sinners.
We are to come to Him without money and without price. Like the shepherds, they also were welcome with the Lord Jesus, though they were poor. And though they had nothing,
but true gifts that were given here by these wise men, they were not given as a payment. They did not first give the gifts at the entrance into the house. There at the entrance say, we have brought some gifts along because we know that in order for us to enter into the house, we need to make a payment. No. But after they had entered the house, after they had seen Him, after they have met with Him, then they pull out these gifts, for they flow out of their heart of after seeing Him. When God's people come with gifts, then it is giving out of a treasure in the way of gratitude for His salvation. But what do we give Him, dear congregation? These wise men, they gave some costly gifts, worth more than $1,000 today. You know, at this time of the year, many people, they spend a lot of money. This time of the year, they need to get gifts for others, they need to get gifts for their loved ones, and they need to give gifts, and they need to buy, and it's a busy time for buyers and sellers, and it's a busy time of giving gifts. But what have we given to Christ? What have you given to Him? Or maybe we don't have much. Maybe we don't have the riches of these wise men. Maybe we don't have gold and these gifts that these wise men had. But we do have something to give. And then I think of a mother. What shall I give to the Lord? Oh, and then the mother thinks perhaps of her dear children. And she would devote these children unto the Lord. Lord, she says, I don't want to part with my children. They're very dear to me. But I would that my children would be devoted unto Thee, so that they might serve Thee in some way, that they might serve King Jesus. Lord, we give these children back to Thee. Do with them as Thou dost see fit in Thine eyes, but let them serve Thee. It's a costly gift. But there's still something more that can be given to Christ, even if we don't have much. No, I'm not talking about little gifts. I'm not talking about a little lip service. I'm not talking about a little bit of money. I'm talking about your heart. For the Father has given Christ. And that giving of Christ is spoken of as an unspeakable gift. Shall you not then give your heart to Christ? Shall you not devote your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall you not give Him your heart and lay it on the altar? And Lord, say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, what shall I render unto Thee for all Thy benefits towards me? Shall we not do that, boys and girls? Give the Lord our heart. And if we don't do that, well, then we can celebrate Christmas and we can buy gifts for other people. But we continue as thieves of God. For we don't give to Him what rightfully belongs to Him. When we don't give Him our heart, that is what He asks of you. Your heart. And dear children of God, what do you give to Christ? What is it that you have given to Christ? And then I think God's people, they must confess, what have I really given to Him? How stingy I have been, actually. So much time and so much money I've spent on myself. When it should be all for the Lord Jesus. Oh, how I should serve Him. How I should live for Him. How I should walk in His ways. How that I am to devote my entire being to Him. and not just a part. All that I am, I owe to Thee. Is that not so? Well, the wise men, they give gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and therein they give their heart. That's the story of the wise men. Better said, this is the story of God working in the wise men, bringing them to the Lord Jesus. And we have here a picture of how the Lord God works in sinners' hearts, don't we? Do you ask, were these wise men really converted? Did they savingly find the Lord Jesus? Could that be? For they didn't understand that much. Did they truly believe in the Lord Jesus with true faith? Did they all know what was going to happen? Well, I don't know what they all knew, but I think that it's clear their case, isn't it? For all the parts of truly seeking the Lord Jesus and of closing with the Lord Jesus are there. There's the call that has made them leave their own country of origin, and that they cannot resist to meet the King, and they go a-seeking after the Lord Jesus, and there's a trustful obedience of what the Lord has told them, and finally there is a seeing of the Lord Jesus and a worshipping of the Lord Jesus. Those are the parts, aren't they, of closing with Christ? If we need to look at anything, and if we need to ask this question, we need to ask it and to see a contrast, a sad contrast, between these wise men there in Bethlehem and the people in Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem, it was no different. It was so different than in the place of this home in Bethlehem. In Jerusalem, they had their scrolls. They had the Word of God still. The scribes went on teaching the people. They went about their religion still. But where did it bring them? But the wise men came. And how many sermons did the wise men hear? They had only had two sermons. The one sermon they had was given by a star. And the second sermon they had was on Micah 5 verse 2. Yet they left the east, and they journeyed a long way. They went to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem they went on to Bethlehem. And they entered into the house in Bethlehem, and they saw the Lord Jesus, and they adored Him. They were bound to this King Jesus, and were willing subjects of this King. But while they bow before the Lord Jesus, the rest of Jerusalem have turned down an opportunity to seek Him and to worship Him. And you know what that means about the people in Jerusalem? It means that they have hardened their hearts. Does that still happen today? The Word of God comes to us by preachers and by parents and by Sunday school teachers, and that we may hear of the Lord Jesus, but rather than celebrating Christmas with Christ, we celebrate Christmas without Christ. And we grow harder to the gospel of Christmas. We reject what God has called us to receive. We disobey when we are called to obey. We rebel when we are called to surrender ourselves unto Him. But remember that one day the last sermon will be heard, and the last service will end. And if we refuse the gospel, and we have sat under the Word of God, but have hardened ourselves, and have never come and have never seen Christ, then the last sermon will end, and amen will be said, and we will go home, and we will die, and we will perish, and we will go lost, cast away, like so many people in Jerusalem were, who heard of the King, but they never went to see Him. What will it be for us? And what must we do? We must go to Bethlehem. We must come to Bethlehem. Follow the star of the Word to Bethlehem. and follow it without delay. Go promptly. We really have no time to lose. The wise men realized that there was no time to lose, and they went. We must follow the star of the Word and come in trustful obedience to the Lord Jesus. What does somebody say, but am I welcome to enter into that house? I'm such a sinner. Am I welcome? These wise men were bold enough to go. They were bold enough to enter, and they were bold enough to believe that this king would receive them. And they could not go away from him. And so may you. The door stands open. Still. He is still receiving subjects. He is still receiving sinners. This is the time to seek him. This is the time to ask, where is he? How may I find him? There is still time to go to Bethlehem to see Christ the King. There's still time. How much, I don't know. But now there is still time. Do you have a hard heart? Bring that hard heart to him. He can break it. Have you neglected him too much? Have you abused his mercies? He is still willing to come and give you another mercy, another sermon, another view of the child Jesus. He has power for whatever your inability is. He is willing in spite of your unwillingness. He can draw people from far away, as he did with these wise men. He can still do the same today. Oh, you who are empty of yourselves, he has everything. He is king. With him is everything that you lack. Give him your heart. Say to him, Lord, here, I cannot keep it to myself. It would be sin if I held on one more day to my heart. Oh, it is a hard heart, and it is a filthy heart, it's a sinner's heart. But I hear that thou art willing to take it. He is a rich king for a poor sinner. Surrender to this king. Lay down the weapons of your heart. Lay down all resistance. Give it over to him. Kiss the Son. Kiss him, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Kiss him with the overtures of grace. Oh, run to him. Stay not away. Go to him. Follow him wherever he leads you. He does not disappoint. And you who are like the wise men, you who have found the Lord, what should you do? Should you not marvel at the work of the Lord? Should you not trace out his work? How has the Lord done this? How has he led me from being a stranger, an alien of him? Brought you under his word, made you see your need of Christ, led you to Christ. Should we not do that as the wise men must have done? Wonder, how did I actually come to Christ? Well, because the Father was drawing you. He drew by the star. He drew onward by the Word. He drew by His Son's mighty power. He drew by His Spirit so that you entered into the house. You saw Him. And you fell down. And what if He had not drawn you, dear child of God? Then you would be lost. Eternally lost. Then you may have been alive still at Christmas 2006, but on your way to perish forever. Shall you not bow down and worship the King? If he had not done so, if he had not drawn you, and you would have been lost if he had not come to Bethlehem there. If he had not lived the life, if he would not have died the death, then it would have been lost for you and for me. But if he has brought you to himself, to Bethlehem's house, he's going to bring you to another place, the Father's house, with the many mansions. And there you may be together with the wise men to worship the Lord Jesus, to cast the crown at his feet, and to adore him forever. Oh, praise him, ye people. Worship the Lord. Amen.